702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
13 minutes after 10 o'clock, Siya Khumalo is my guest, award-winning author and socio-political commentator. Siya, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, fourth wave. Is there still a risk of stricter lockdowns on the horizon? I didn't get a chance to see the president speak yesterday because I was load shed. In fact, I was so I was so scared to talk about load shedding last week because I felt, you know, I might just jinx the whole smooth running of the supply of power that we've enjoyed this last week. But, you know, as he was starting to talk, the lights went out. But I'm told that the president said that we were not going to, at least for the near future, be looking at lockdowns. We may look at the possibility of mandatory vaccines. What did you make of that?
Well, they've been having the discussion. MEDLAC government, the Department of Health, has said, they said that in June, and they said that again in September. And I think everyone is scared to make a decision because the moment, if government, for an example, says to purchase liquor, you definitely need to present a vaccine certificate, you could have a lot of liquor companies going, well, do we really want to have losses up front in order to continue functioning in the long term? So that's making a decision for them. If government says all government employees should get vaccinated, government could be facing legal risks on that front. So whatever government says in terms of vaccine mandates or vaccine passports will pass the responsibility on the person who then has to implement that. Discovery, for example, took it upon themselves. They said all their employees have to be vaccinated next year. That means that they are willing to face the legal ramifications of that kind of a decision. They're willing to work with the exceptions. They're willing to do the work.
Yeah.
But it will be very difficult for government to decide which sectors do that and why. I mean, we already saw last year with lockdown and government says these are essential goods and these are non-essential goods. It's kind of that discussion all over again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there still a risk for stricter lockdowns on the horizon?
I believe there is.
Talk to me.
I believe there is. So if government has been having this discussion since June, since September, and they don't want to say who's actually driving the vaccination drive, who's incentivizing it, and we are very likely to see a spike within this week, and by the time they reach a decision on that, they'll have no choice but to go back to what's been tried and tested, and that's lockdown. So we don't like the economic consequences of lockdown, but the reality is, as blunt as they are, they work.
I can almost hear somebody saying, but they don't work, Siya. You know, what they do is that they give us a false sense of security during the time of the lockdown. But what happens is that there is a decimation of the economy. There is the decimation of future prospects of that same economy. And that as soon as it's opened up, it's just a prelude for another lockdown if the lockdowns that we've had are anything to go by.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But they do work insofar as you need to flatten the curve at that moment, they buy you time. So the fact that we should have known by the second, third wave that, okay, vaccines are on the horizon. We need to switch over to incentivizing vaccines as hard as possible. The president said very early on that they would not be compulsory. So
yes.
He would not say that everyone in the country has to get vaccinated. So the moment he said that, he took off the table any scenario in which he cut from the top down says all 58 million or however many of us are eligible for vaccines get vaccinated. What he created instead was the space for industries, businesses to create frameworks, incentives. If you want to access these premises, we need to see a vaccine certificate. If you want to purchase this product, we need to see a vaccine certificate. But that has not kicked in since June until now. Nobody actually wants to press that button. And since nobody pressed that button, and even if somebody did it tomorrow morning, the adoption curve, the time it takes to implement that practically will be longer than we have before the fourth wave comes. So as much as everyone now hates lockdowns, we're probably going to look at them. And there are people who politically would have much to gain from instability, as we have seen in the country.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the incentives that could have been adopted to ensure a greater number of vaccinations, if vaccination is the way to go, right? Because even that is on the debate table, right? Why were we not incentivized a little harder? Why were we not forced to take vaccine? I mean, and that's part of the and I'm not arguing for the forcing of people to take vaccine. I'm not arguing for that. I'm asking the question on the basis that we now know that this is a serious pandemic. We know that it kills. We know that it kills economies if we go down the lockdown route. We know that this thing is bad news. Why is it that we haven't seen a lot more decisive actions than we've seen thus far? Why have we not seen stronger incentives? Why have we not seen stronger enforcement?
So this is pure guesswork on my part.
Yeah.
But imagine this discussion where you're saying, okay, let's start incentivizing vaccines. At which LSM level do you do it? And who loses out politically? Who has to absorb those discussions? Because I was looking at the DA's webpage. They said yes to vaccines, but they... Curiously, I may have missed it, but they didn't say anything about vaccine mandates as such. They seem to just be okay with the vaccine in principle.
Yeah.
Because if you say, fine, you need vaccines to go to a restaurant, already most of South Africa, that's inapplicable for a lot of South Africans is sitting down at a restaurant. If you're looking at people who are higher income and so on and so forth, except maybe the employee. Same with gyms. So depending on where you pitch the vaccine mandate, you are potentially splitting an income group. Now, if you do that, for example, you say, okay, you need vaccines to access, let's call it shopping centers. What do you call this? Retail stores.
Yeah.
Which is highly unlikely to happen. You are probably going to get shareholders at those retail chains saying, wait a minute, but now our customers who are not vaccinated are likely going to go shop at other shops in
China Mall.
We're going to lose a lot of foot traffic because there's slightly less regulation as you move away from those retail giants. Where, for an example, a retail giant to do anything on credit has to have the certification to do that. Whereas if you are going to the foreign national who operates from a shipping container in your neighborhood, you can probably borrow money, or not money, but you can probably pay on credit at the end of the month without him having to be certified.
Yeah.
So for government to start regulating at that level is very impractical. So then government could say, fine, people are not going to need vaccine certificates to shop at retail centers, but maybe at the bottle or the liquor section. That's a little easier to regulate. But the question is, will the alcohol value chain want to absorb the upfront cost of having reduced traffic in exchange for staying open for longer and not being shut down completely by a lockdown in the next 3 weeks? So you've got all of those trade-offs.
Yeah. Is that not the practical trade-off for that cumbersome process that you've just described versus lockdown?
I think it is. They might not agree. We you'd have to think about the cash flow implications of every business.
Mm.
Some of them probably make more money at the start of December, some less towards the end. We don't know when that lockdown would happen if they didn't take the vaccine mandate option. If the alcohol industry
You speak of the DA being in principle in favor of
vaccine,
but not necessarily in favor of vaccine mandate. Okay, but isn't that the position of basically all the big political parties? I mean, the EFF, the ANC, all seem to have that same sort of approach. In fact, I heard today that COSATU was happy to have the conversation, in fact, supported the idea of vaccine mandate versus lockdown. Has it come down to that we are now at the place where it's lockdown or vaccine mandate? Is there middle road?
That's what it is. So yesterday we just delayed the inevitable. The inevitable is facing exactly that split. And of course, the political parties would support vaccines, but not vaccine mandates as such, because that's the safer position. Because, I mean, I'm just thinking back to that restaurant idea, that restaurant scenario, where the majority of the country is not headed to the newest five-star restaurant to try out the menu. A lot of the population that's not going there, I mean, if somebody asked me why are a lot of black people right now not getting vaccinated, are they hesitant? And I said, I don't think they're hesitant. I think they're just procrastinating. For many people, there's no urgency around COVID. If you walk in a lot of places, there are no masks on faces. So you know, it's something that's happening over there.
Yeah. I was having a conversation, I suppose a more medico-scientific conversation in the first hour to a Dr. Anton Meiberg, who's a specialist physician and pulmonologist, about some of the issues that are being raised. Yes. One of the things that he said is that the medical fraternity is very, very strongly behind vaccination mandates for medical reasons, right?
Yes.
And the political business is probably cautiously for vaccines, but as you say, haven't come out strongly, not as strongly as COSATU has to say, and I'm not saying COSATU is a political party, but they play in that space, right?
Yes,
they've come out to say that, yes, we agree with vaccine mandate, right? And there's a lot of talk at the moment about the constitutionality of that. And I agree with you that many businesses out there would really consider the practicalities of the enforcement of a vaccine mandate and how that would affect their bottom line. Is vaccine mandate therefore a practicality? Is it something that will happen?
Well, so this is what I was saying about a lot of the black majority in the country. We've dealt with vaccine mandates. So there was a time, and I don't know if that's still enforced, where to take a child to school, you had to have a vaccine card.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm imagining a lot of the unions would say, but we've done this before.
Yeah.
Whereas if you ask yourself, who are the vaccine hesitant, who are the anti-vaxxers? I'm sorry to say this, a lot of them are white people with internet access who are using Dr. Google to find out, to do their own research. So if you told restaurants vaccine mandate, their clientele would be split down the middle strongly. If you tell COSATU and schools vaccine mandate, they'll figure it out. So this is why the question of where you are pitching it, are you pitching it at retail stores, are you pitching it at restaurants, at gyms, which LSM becomes an economic as well as a political problem, I think.
Look, let's talk a little bit about the restaurant. Sure. Most of the people that are going to talk about the restaurant and the entry into the restaurant will probably be the well-heeled, and most of them might be white, I suppose, in this country. But the people that must do the work, in other words, the people that gain some sort of income because of the functioning of that restaurant will most probably mostly be black. Right.
Correct.
Will they not perhaps be in favor of some sort of a vaccine mandate on that score, given the fact that however little business is coming through at first, it's better than nothing?
That's the long game. So that's the game that says, look, if we're consistent about collectively driving a vaccine mandate, we're less likely to have a lockdown in 3 weeks. We will not stop having an income. Therefore, let us bite the bullet now. That is a very, it depends, again, on how different people view it. But what you're describing is a practical scenario. You use the same scenario for the bottle stores, where they say, look, if a bottle store voluntarily says, we are going to start looking for vaccine certificates, we'll put a sign outside the door. What that means is they cut their immediate foot traffic down to a fraction, but if everybody else did the same thing, then we would all be less likely to face a lockdown in three weeks. So there are all of there's that balancing act, and I think a lot of your waiters would see that, and they've probably been discussing it by themselves in any case. They're like, rather just bite the bullet and have a lower foot traffic, have the protests, have the kicking, screaming, and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but in the end, we don't have a hard lockdown. We don't have a liquor ban. We don't have decreased revenue.
I tell you, Sia, I'm a little uncomfortable with the racialization of the various profiles there, because somebody might say, oh, so you guys are saying that black people are for the bottle stores and the white people are for the restaurants. So I'm going to leave that in your hands, my brother. You handle that.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm happy to speak to that.
Sure. Continue. So the issue that I want to perhaps get from my listeners, a very unscientific perhaps survey, as Sia Khumalo and I have this conversation. If it came down to lockdowns versus vaccine mandates, what would you go for? If that's what it came down to, and frankly, folks, I've got a feeling that that's where we're heading to. You know, I've got a feeling that it's either lockdowns or vaccine mandates. I don't see any other way. But give me a call on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. And I'm happy to take calls on what you believe is possible in between, right? But my sense is that the conversations are at the highest levels. Do we press the button in as far as vaccine mandate is concerned versus the idea of lockdown? Sia contends that we've been down the lockdown process. It works for the purpose of slowing things down in terms of the intake into hospitals, flattening the curve, giving us a little bit of that gap to be able to prepare. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. How do we then realistically and practically, Sia, have a conversation that is going to lead us somewhere? What do we say on platforms such as these in order to prime, to help people think in the correct ways about the possibilities that are before us in the way that we're going to respond to COVID-19 in whatever form it appears, whether it's the Omicron now or whatever wave we're going to get to? How do we have this conversation? What are we trying to say?
I think the conversation should have happened yesterday with the president. I believe the president should have come out more strongly in moving now on the vaccine mandate, give some kind of an incentive to businesses to take it up. So if a business is willing to take that risk, there must be a trade-off where government says, either I will give you lightened lockdown restrictions, I don't know if you can create, how quickly and practically they can create some kind of a tax rebate system. But the thing I see working is if government says, look, if you as a business take it upon yourself now to drive a vaccine entrance thing, get your staff vaccinated, then if and when lockdown has to be introduced, you are eligible for a lighter burden in that regard because you made the effort.
So you're saying to me that there's a possibility of your lockdown with conditions, a lockdown that says lockdown only for people who are unvaccinated?
Other countries have tried that, and there was a backlash. I still think it's worth trying in South Africa because our numbers are different, and unfortunately, a lot of that difference is accountable for. It's not causation, where because people are a certain race, they do certain things.
Yeah.
It's correlation. People tend to be a certain race, and they tend to have access to or have a perspective on certain topics. And I think here in this country, the people who would protest vaccine mandates or anything of the sort, it's a smaller group than we would expect in other countries. I really feel that way. And a lot of people who haven't vaccinated just haven't had a practical reason. I mean, I know that this is a life and death situation, but they haven't had a practical reason like, oh, I can't access this place unless I have a vaccine. So it's never become time sensitive. It's never been that kind of a restriction in their lives. But I think if we did start saying, yes, let businesses have this incentive. When lockdown comes, those businesses that drove vaccine mandates are going to carry a lighter burden. so that those businesses, within that time, they start driving that thing, and you get a lot more people saying, look, I was putting it off, let me just do it. Let me just get the job.
Yeah.
Because now I can't access these spaces that I like.
Just as I digress a little bit, don't you think this is a class issue rather than a race issue?
That's also true. So it is a class issue, but this is just my experience talking. I've got a lot of friends who are anti-vax. They all happen to be white. So it's not just, and I will stress again, it's not causation, it's correlation. So they happen to be in a specific class, but they also happen to be in specific WhatsApp groups, ways of looking at the world, lots of alt-right media consumption, mix of mainstream and non-mainstream news sources, where, I mean, a lot, black people who question leftist and progressive ideologies would have different reasons for doing so than white people, for an example. So it is class, but I'll be bolder about it.
I hear you. I hear you. It's just that my experience here on this platform is slightly different.
Okay.
I suppose the bulk of my listenership, LSM,
yes,
race is mostly black, right?
Okay.
And I've got as much anti-vaxxers in the black community as I have white, right?
May I ask what their reasons are, if you don't mind me?
I don't know. I don't know. Really, I don't know if I can just group them in that sense. I think mostly it's about the challenging of people's personal rights. It's about the idea that there is a deficit of trust in government just generally. It is very much less about, listen, we've gone down the root of vaccine mandates with polio and smallpox before, so it's nothing new to us. I get a sense that people now are all new to the reality of the availability of information, and what that does is that it gives everybody an ability to opine in a particular way. So that's why I'm saying I'm not sure whether it's necessarily a racial issue, although I can't run away from the reality of the South African experience that it's always got very strong racial dimensions. But it feels to me like it is more of a class thing than it is a racial thing. But let's try it. I mean, let's have that conversation. Let's open it up on 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Once again, I ask, if it is up to you whether we have a vaccine mandate versus lockdown, perhaps even a lockdown with conditions that says lockdown only for the people that are unvaxxed, which would you go? I'd love to take your calls as I speak to Siya Khumalo, who's an award-winning author and socio-political commentator. We'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. So, you think that we are going to have the lockdown. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Sure, Siya. You scare me.
I'm sorry. I don't like it.
Oh, you scare the living daylights out of me. What are the conditions that are going to bring that out?
We haven't. The discussion on the mandate isn't advanced enough that we can start implementing it. And I think I wrote about this, was it last week, where I said businesses that drive the mandate, that incentivize vaccination, you get e-hailing services that give people discounts for going to and from vaccination sites. You get places that are giving people discounts on meals for if they come with a vaccination certificate. Businesses that are taking those steps should be, we should just say, fine, if this lockdown is coming because the numbers are rising, it's coming. But the businesses that have been doing that should face a lighter lockdown burden. There must be some kind of way of tracking it. If we even asked, okay, are the people coming through your door vaccinated or not? You already have a register that's taking down your body temperature, and I'm sure people would decline to say whether they're registered or they're vaccinated or not. But that data gives us a clearer picture of the correlation between infection, transmittability, and vaccination. Businesses that collect that kind of information for the health department, whoever's tracking the stats, they help us get closer to managing this thing. They should be getting some kind of incentive. And that incentive looks like less strict lockdown. But the fact of the numbers rising tells me that we are going to face lockdown. Like, we were relieved yesterday because there wasn't an alcohol ban.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to last. I think there was just that euphoria, that psychological, oh, thank God. You know, they only told us after the liquor shops closed that they go to their family meeting. You know, you should have stocked up. You knew something was coming. And then he talks and you're like, oh, they haven't closed liquor. Everyone was so happy. Nobody actually thought about the fact that just the first thing you saw on the news headlines this morning is that we're going to have a tripling of infections this week.
Do you realize that in our whole conversation in the last 40 minutes, we haven't really had a conversation about the effectiveness or the perceived effectiveness or not of vaccine? So it appears to me that that conversation is not even in the minds of those that are thinking about these things. It's no longer about whether or not vaccine actually helps medically or not. It's about whether or not taking the vaccine is economically expedient. And I know that the political types will jump on that, right? But it appears that that's not even a consideration.
I think the partial effectiveness, let me call it as the vaccine is effective enough for that to not even be a question. I know people who caught COVID, and they're the kind of people, they catch the flu, they go to hospital, they have to.
Yeah.
But they were vaccinated, they caught COVID, they treated it at home. So yeah. the overwhelming picture that we're getting is that these vaccines are lowering hospitalization. I have a friend who's anti-vax. The conversation I was having with him the other week, he was denying that all of this was even happening. Like, there's COVID. This is the other month. He was still in denial about COVID. Now the conversation has shifted. He admits the vaccines are effective, but he thinks they're part of a conspiracy to collect our data. So for him, the fact that vaccines make a difference, the evidence he's staring at, it overcame his denial about the virus existing. The evidence overcame all of those hurdles, but he's still sticking to a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But the data he's basing it on assumes the efficiency of the vaccine. So whoever is controlling this thing, released it from China, gave it to everyone in the world, doesn't mind if you get vaccinated. They give you a reprieve. So that's now where the new conspiracy is. The efficiency of the vaccine has enough proof behind it for even the most hardened conspiracy theorist to take that as some kind of a given. You know,
Let's take some calls. 011-883-0702. Siya Khumalo is my guest. He's award-winning author and socio-political commentator, written an opinion piece in News 24. It's called Fourth Wave. Is there still a risk of stricter lockdowns on the horizon? He says most definitely yes. Yeah. And I've asked you to comment on whether or not you would choose stricter lockdowns. I mean, yeah, stricter lockdowns or forced vaccination. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about that. Sagrin is in Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Sagrin.
Good evening, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Sagrin. What's on your mind, sir?
Okay, what I believe is that we can have a bit of a permutation. We don't need to have a forced lockdown. A forced vaccine or a full-on lockdown. What we can do is that let businesses operate as normal, but we can, like we've done in the past, close down all social events. When I say social events like weddings and so forth, your Christmas parties, close it down totally. But have your businesses operate like in the past, your restaurants and so forth, and it will keep the economy going. Forced vaccine, I believe that that word that we've been using is actually, we don't have anti-vaxxers out there. It's more people waiting and observing to make a decision. It's not that they're against vaccines. It's just that I personally know of people that have died after taking the vaccine. It's a fact. Family of mine that have passed away after taking the vaccine. Young guys of 35 years old, working in the teaching industry, where they had to take the vaccine. And it was the J&J vaccine, by the way, and passed away. Look, I believe that we shouldn't force vaccines. The reason being is that even though it's one in a million, I don't believe you would like to be one of that million that will pass away. So we should have the freedom of choice to take the vaccine. So it shouldn't be forced.
But again, so you think people who take vaccine, particularly the J&J vaccine, will pass away?
No. I believe that it could be one in a million. There's been a few occurrences of people passing away. There's been a few. But would you personally or me personally?
You know, that question is a difficult one.
I know it's a difficult one. But look, again, we can work on a permutation where we can open up businesses. But again, if you look at I actually don't look at the number of infection. I look at the number of deaths. And you find that we've got a similar population to the UK.
Yeah.
But the number of deaths that we've got in South Africa, which is about 90,000, compared to about a million in the USA, which is a higher population.
And USA is far more than that, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, we're actually doing very well as a country, to be honest.
Segun, I'm going to let you go, my brother. Thank you very much for your call. Much appreciated. Permutations, says Segun. Different permutations. Be interested to hear what Sia's got to say about that. But let me quickly take another call from Elizabeth in Deep River in Cape Town. Good evening to you, Elizabeth.
Hello. I am pro-vaccination, although one worries because both a lockdown and a vaccination mandate can be draconian. And, you know, it does remind one of the 1980s. You know, when the army used to experiment on some people, for example, with gays. They wanted to try and make them straight and stuff. And your body belonged to the state. So they, you know, if you were in the defense force. So I can understand why people are squeamish, particularly this government of forcing people to take a vaccine. But on the other hand, I mean, we all have been through the lockdown, and that also was kind of reminiscent of the 1980s with peace in the street and everything. And then on a personal level, I'm about to take cancer treatment, so I'm feeling a bit vulnerable right now, so I think having everybody vaccinated is a nice idea. But of course, you can have people then having fraudulent cards and all those sort of things. So, yeah, I don't know.
But you lean more to pro-vaccination, Elizabeth.
Pro-mandatory
vaccination.
Pro-mandatory vaccination. Yeah.
I'd be interested to know what sorts of enforcement of that would you be comfortable with? Would you want to see camps, for example, for those people that are not vaccinated?
No. Signs. Hit people's pockets as much as you can. Although I would like to try the carrots initially rather than the stick. You slowly have doors closing. You know, you can't go to concerts, you can't go to restaurants, you can't, you know, all that sort of thing. But then, fines if one is going to step things up more.
Yeah. Elizabeth in Deep River, thanks much. Appreciate it. Tabo is in Jeppy's Town. Hi, Tabo.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Vaccination or lockdown, man?
Yeah, none of those I really affirm with. Lockdown economy is almost a cripple. Where mandatory vaccine is still a violation of certain human rights, even though it appears if it's a solution towards a population health that the state require. But now I have a question. that why can't at least, because the virus is still mutating, of which now it affects the efficacy of those vaccines that have been taken. Why can't the scientists at least come up with a repellent, something that can repel a virus for a particular moment, maybe a lip gloss or anything that can repel till the virus mutates, they find until the last core, where by now they will be able to manufacture the right vaccine that has the
I expect, Thabo, they'll say that that is part of the research to find something that's going to be a silver bullet. But at this point, what they will argue is that all we have is the vaccine that we have now. I know that Pfizer, for example, is in the process of trying to develop a vaccine that is going to be a little more effective against this new Omicron variant. So my issue is the argument, as you probably would have heard in the first hour of the show, is that this is what we've got for now, right? And efforts are being made to come up with something that is going to be a lot more definitive and so forth, but this is what we have for now. That's that. My question to you, Thabo, then is, are you saying to me that no lockdown at all?
Yes, no lockdown. And for the unvaccinated people, at least let the wearing of mask be mandatory.
Well,
and don't prejudice people according to medical science.
Yeah.
But at least if it must be compulsory for the unvaccinated.
Well, it's compulsory for everybody at the moment. Vaccinated or not vaccinated, it's compulsory that we all wear masks, as far as I believe. Sia, is that the case?
It is.
So
it is already by law. Have to.
So. When do you think we start seeing any of these permutations? Whether it is, I mean, at the moment, I think we're in that very strange place at the moment, the twilight zone, where, as you say, government is not ready to make some unpopular decisions. We've had a bloody nose with the other lockdowns that we've had. But you're saying that it's inevitable, it's going to happen. Under which circumstances do you think it's going to actually happen?
I think that within, so the president said that in 2 weeks if we may review everything. I think before the 2 weeks is up, we will know that the numbers are climbing.
We're already hearing that by the end of this week, we're going to be playing around in the 10,000s of infections, says one of the experts,
Right. So let's just go through the permutations, because Sagan said something very important. He mentioned somebody who passed, and he spoke about the one chance in a million. I think that when you're discussing the individual, it's a loss, right?
Yeah.
Somebody passed away, and we don't know what caused the death. We don't know how the vaccine played into that.
Yeah.
But it's a loss. But honestly, a statistic like one in a million is a chance most people are willing to take.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's exactly the chance you take when you get it. Well, it's not really the same probability that you take when you get on an airplane.
Yeah,
you know that that plane could crash on some level. You just know that it's highly unlikely to crash. So science and technology are always in a state of progress. But I don't think we'll have a situation where we can have people not vaccinating on the one hand and have no lockdowns on the other. We're not going to have it both ways, highly unlikely. There's too much pressure on all fronts. What we are, if we've got very cool heads, what we are going to start seeing are more trade-offs where, okay, businesses that are prepared to drive the vaccine mandate, here are the concessions, or here's how your lockdown burden is going to be eased. I think that's where the middle ground lies, or the sweet spot lies.
Yeah.
Because once again, not every South African can afford to go to restaurants and concerts. But those are points. And I think it was Thabo who said, why not stop people from going to gatherings, like weddings and all of those things? But the practical reality is it is easier to monitor business than it is to monitor how the people are gathering or not.
Yeah.
So if I have...
Well they tried that in the first sort of lockdown, remember? And we saw people being killed by the police, I mean by the soldiers here in Alexandria. You remember that whole story? So maybe, you know, the authorities are a little bit gun-shy for that, yeah?
Yes, they are a little bit gun-shy. So it's a case of the fact that when you bring the state to police or you bring soldiers out against the public, it gets ugly, like you're describing. But if you say to businesses, look, you've got this license, you've got this this business registration, you've got a website, as a condition of going on, you will need to have the sign on your website. If you're a South African domain, you will need to follow these lockdown restrictions if you're a South African business. And it's easier to monitor that without using the police as such.
Yeah.
Because there's some kind of contract.
Somebody says, Aubrey, get your booze now.
Who's somebody saying that?
Somebody says, Aubrey, get your booze now, bro. I suppose it is about booze at some level, huh? So are you saying to me, Sia, that the reality is that something is going to be enforced?
Something is going to be enforced. So we're looking at 10,000, like you said, at the end of this week. And everybody, the reason people are not thinking about that is we got to get our booze. It's the euphoria. And when I say to you, and then when you say, no, look, the numbers are looking bad, you're looking at the 10,000.
I wish I didn't find this funny, because it's not funny. I'm aware it's not funny. But but are you saying that we as South Africans consider whether or not we're going to get our booze before we even think about the economy? We think about life and death issues. The issue here is, when are we getting our booze? This guy says, Orbs, get your booze now, bro.
but there's evidence that actually backs that interpretation. Mm. That evidence is the statistics for alcohol purchase in South Africa far outstrip those of vaccination or voting.
It's rough.
We do not vaccinate, we do not vote, and those are the things you do if you want to have any, if you want to have some kind of a say over how the economy functions.
But then
we don't show up for that. We show up to consume alcohol.
Then perhaps we should have a serious conversation about incentivizing people to get vaccinated through booze. In other words,
this is what I mean, saying.
I mean, can we have that serious conversation? Are we saying that South Africans, I mean, you're talking about the voting scenario, you're talking about the vaccination scenario, that most people didn't go and vote because it was yet another day to go and drink? Well, maybe we should have a conversation that says, okay, guys, if you want to get a vaccine, here's a six-pack.
Whoa, that's an interesting one. I don't know if we would have the funding for it. I think it would cause other problems down the line. But look, this is what I was saying. So there are businesses that incentivize people to vaccinate by giving them discounts and things. So your e-hailing services are saying, if you are going to a vaccination site or back, we will give you a discount. A restaurant to say the same thing. Look, if you bring your vaccine certificate, you're getting a drink on us.
Yeah.
So this is the trade-off I was talking about. And in turn, government says to those businesses, you will get a lighter lockdown burden if and when we do go into lockdown. So if we go into lockdown level 3, you can still operate. You can still sell X amount of alcohol because you played a role in incentivizing people to not only continue participating in the economy, but to do so as vaccinated.
Sia Khumalo, I'm going to let you go, my brother. Tell me, how do we follow you?
My Twitter handle is Sia the Writer. It's also my Instagram handle, and my Facebook is with Sia Khumalo.